Have you guys ever, this is a fun question, have you guys ever played the lotto before? Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to be honest, I have as well. I don't know if you guys saw, it was kind of in the news. I think the Powerball, it got over like $1 billion a couple weeks ago or something along those lines. Like that is, that's a whole lot of money. And I know that they're like, it's like, oh, you think to yourself like, oh, that's why the lotto exists. It's like, I could have that, right? And you go and you buy your $2 ticket and then you probably end up forgetting about your ticket like in your car and then you don't even check. And then it's just like, you know, you just gave your money away. You could have maybe a $1 billion ticket and you didn't even know. But a little while ago, like a couple years ago, the Powerball, like it made it over, what was it, like $2 billion, $2.04 billion? You think like, why is that 0.04 there? Well, that's like 400 grand. Like, you know, I would just like the 0.04, that'd be great. But it got over that and one single person won that. And so whenever those numbers kind of rise like that, you probably start to think like, well, what would I do with the money? This is a fun question. What would you do if you won the Powerball? Go ahead. Let me hear you. Student loans. Student loans. Amen. Yeah. What else? Feed the homeless. Travel. What else? Buy pies? Did I hear? Oh, tithe. Yeah, tithe. Yeah, yeah. Pies are good too, though. Like, that's a lot of pie. That's a lot of pie. But no matter what you would do with that money, like it would change your life, right? Like that's kind of something that like if that were to happen to you, it wouldn't just like be like, oh, just like subtle changes. Like that would be like a drastic change. That would be like you got to change your phone number, like got to wear sunglasses and like a hood like out whenever you leave your house. Like it would be like a very, very big, huge drastic change. Here's the deal. Like, whenever you think about those things, money, whenever you get, like, a lot of money, there's a quote that says that actually money doesn't change who you are as much as it simply reveals who you always were. If you were to get this money, it would actually just be like, it would remove any barriers and things. So the you that you are whenever you are alone ended up being whoever you wanted to be because there were no consequences or things. You wouldn't lose your job for being who you thought, that, you know what I mean, as you were in private. There wouldn't be any consequences for doing, buying, being a part of, partaking in things maybe that you would do in private. Whatever you do, everyone has values. You have some of these things that you attest to that are important to you, things that are what you really live your life by. Everyone has values, and these are filters through which we make our decisions. Who do you date? You have specific values on who you date or who you looking to marry. Where do you live? You have values there. Who do you hang out with? What do you do with an open date on your calendar? You have these values, right? Do you take a vacation? And if you do take a vacation, where do you go? Who do you go with? Our values, these filters through which we make decisions, and our decisions are mile markers on the road to success or failure when it comes to our values. If you look at some of the things and the choices that you've made, maybe, just maybe, those choices were actually through your values. So if you have lowered your values or had values maybe that weren't really built on either truth or authentic success or, you know, those kinds of things, those behaviors have maybe been shaped, and your fruit that you have is also shaped that way. Success, as defined by Ephesians 2:10, says this: "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Here's a quote for you. "Some of us will spend our entire lives climbing the ladder only to realize at the end of our lives that it was leaned against the wrong wall the whole time." There aren't many people that want to waste their life, right? But still sometimes might be something that we have in our values that maybe we have no values in some area or system that has maybe shaped our behavior. And so this morning, what we want to do is we want to take this time. We at Grace Church have four core values. It's literally like the ways that we make decisions. It's not based on like anyone's specific opinion. It's based on scripture. So we've been very intentional about communicating our core values and really the different teams, the different areas. And actually, as you go in and take your check-in, your spiritual assessment, looking at the mirror of where kind of you are in your walk with God or where you are just specifically in your church life or your life in general, these questions that are asked in this check-in are completely saturated in our core values. And as a church, it's our hopes that these core values that we hold dear would actually be something that would be really beneficial for you in your life. Maybe that these core values that we hold so close could be something in a way that you would be able to live your life with these core values in mind too. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take our four core values and just look at them with a microscope. We're going to look at some ways that those are really lived out in our church, the ways that we could be living those things out. And hopefully what this does is it gives us some nice goals to be able to set for what is to come. And so this is something that is, I think, vitally important. Everything that we do, I think, is hopefully important, but here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for our time as we go through these things before we do that. Will you pray with me one more time? God, we just want to ask for your clarity in these four statements that mean a lot more than just a goal. God, I pray that as we would assess where our lives are currently, I pray that we would be honest and open and even vulnerable with what you would reveal through these core values. God, I pray that you would be clear in what our spiritual next step is. God, I pray that if there are those that are spiritually disconnected this morning, that some of these core values would be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light that points to your son, Jesus, and gives us direction that way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first core value is we want to be biblically centered. We want to be biblically centered. So if you have your cell phones, right, you actually have a free access to the Bible in the YouVersion Bible app. It's a free download. There are all the different translations. We use the new Living Translation. You can change that right there. If you don't have a paper Bible and you would like a paper Bible, we have free Bibles that you could take that are actually at, back on the back table, because everything that we do, we want to be biblically centered. When God called Joshua to take over for Moses. So you remember Moses was the guy that led the people of Israel out of Egypt and went through the Red Sea, parted the sea, and walked on dry land. And then the Charlton Heston movie, that's like way old. I'm like, that's way older than me, but you guys at least know maybe a little better, know exactly what I'm talking about. But that guy, Moses, handed the reins over to this guy, Joshua, and this is what God told Joshua. He said this in Joshua 1, 7, and 8. Says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, then he will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure it will be everything. You'll do everything that's written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." So what he was instructed to look at was this thing called the Torah. It was the first five books of the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It was the books that Moses himself wrote down and penned through a Holy Spirit application there. Could you imagine what Joshua would have thought if Moses handed them a completed Bible, here, read this and have this, having the entirety of the canon of Scripture? That would have been probably pretty incredible. That's something that I think of whenever I'm reading scripture, some things that they had in biblical times, and we just literally have the Bible at our fingertips. We can have what's really crazy is I can tell Siri. I don't want to say it too loud. She's always listening. I can tell her to read me the Bible. I can have her literally lullaby to me to sleep if I needed to. We live in such a time to where it is so accessible, and yet sometimes we really neglect that time, right? I'm going through a Bible reading plan called the Bible Recap. I highly recommend it. It's an incredible resource. It is a podcast that's attached to your daily reading. And it's this lady named Tara Lee Cobble, and she just said yesterday, she calls her time that she spends reading her Bible, maybe you've heard the statement, quiet time. If you have a quiet time with God, reading God's Word or praying, she calls it priority time. I love that. She's I call it priority time because I want that language to continue to communicate to me that exactly what this time is. It's a priority. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one who to whom we are accountable." I know there are things in the Bible that are difficult. Just reading in Ezekiel this morning, and there is this section to where Israel is pointing out to just some really graphic things that Israel went to, and this imagery is it's difficult. There are things that you will read in your Bible of things that are descriptive, not prescriptive. What I mean by that is in the history of humankind, there has been terrible, terrible injustice that's recorded in here and called out by God as being wicked, but just even just reading it is something that is triggering. There are things that we read in our Bible that maybe are difficult to grasp when it comes to how we actively live our lives or how we love others. And I'm not going to lie to you, there are some things in here that maybe you might just disagree with. And the thing is, when it comes to God and his love, God and his rich wisdom, we can wrestle with what God has said in his word, with him, with his presence. We can spend time with the creator of the universe and things that really charge us up in a way of God, why did you do this? And then he's there to be able to give us his peace. Whenever we have this time of priority time with God in reading God's word and being able to know what God's word says, we'll understand his heart. Every single time we look at scripture, I say this often, whenever you look at God's word and you start reading, one of the biggest temptations we have is to just start looking for ourselves. Okay, where am I here? Oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah. But I want to challenge you, every time you look at God's word, every time you read God's word, your first priority should be, where is God in my reading today? Where do I see the character of God? Where do I see the rich love, mercy, justice of God in what I read today? It's okay to wrestle with unpopular God opinion, because the fact of the matter is we're not accountable to our culture, we're accountable to God. So whenever it might be countercultural, we have the creator of the universe that created things on purpose for a purpose. Every single one of us, we need to decide whether or not we're going to be biblically centered or not, because there are choices, there are things that even I've done this past week that I'm I have to weigh this, that was this something that God has specifically mapped out in his character and his word. We need to figure out whether we're going to be biblically centered. And then whenever maybe we miss it, because we always will. Is anybody perfect in here? Just a question. Anybody perfect? Oh, yeah. We're not. Me especially. Whenever we aren't perfect, we have this opportunity for God's word to be able to tell us who is perfect, so then we could start to pursue that. To be centered with it, you need to know what it says, and this value really does shape us, and it changes us for the better. So our first core value is to be biblically centered. Our next core value is to be outwardly focused. From the first book of the Bible to the last book of the Bible, the story is about a rescue mission. I always say that this is kind of like God's like love letter to us. This is my Bible, by the way. I don't know, like I sometimes just pick it up and like I just like, you know, it's you're probably looking at it like, wow, that's colorful. This is God's word for me, and this is like what I read, and I put other things that I love on it, like, because I actually grew up skateboarding, and so on our skateboards, you put stickers and things that you love, and so whenever I got, like, I the Lord, like, saved me, I started a relationship with God, I stickered my Bible, and I've done that ever since, and so this is a newer Bible since I got here in this season, and I stickered it up, and it's because I care about these things, because I really care about, like, these things, you know what I'm saying? So, little tangent there. But to be outwardly focused, this is God's like love letter for us, right? And it is a specific rescue mission for those that desperately need to experience God. We walked away from God, and he came after us. He still does the same thing in your life even today. So I'll prove it to you. If you are here maybe wrestling with I see this word wrestle a lot. Like you, if you're wrestling, what that means is like you're contemplating, you're thinking, you're in conflict, maybe in your own brain or your own thoughts of what it looks like to follow after God. Maybe you're here and you're wrestling with, does God exist? Is God real? And if he is real, are these things that he has said in his book that has been around for a long time, are those things that I actually want to live out in my life? Well, the thing is, I would say that he's pursued you to the fact that you're in this chair today. Does that make sense? You're here, we trust, for a purpose, and maybe this is the first time that you've heard that, like you are here trying to find God, and I'm telling you, hey, here he is. now that he put you in the seat to hear this. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." When Jesus first called his disciples, he told them in Mark 1:17, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." Does anybody like fishing? Fishing? Hi, like, yes, good, some fishermen. My dad is like a hardcore fisherman. He loves fishing. I'm from Ohio originally. He still lives in Ohio, so he would go up to Lake Erie and stuff, and there was like a walleye. Like, anybody know what walleye is? Walleye fish? There's a walleye run there, and like he would just go, and like I'm talking like every single summer, and he always wanted me to go with him, and I am just not wired for fishing. It's one of those things like where I now in my adulthood, especially like as like I'm a dad, like I probably would like it a lot more. You know what I mean? Just like the quiet and just going out there and just being in nature. But when I was a kid, I'm and we would go and I would find the smoothest rocks, you know what I mean? Because I learned how to skip rocks, and like you don't really catch fish really well when you're throwing things in the water over and over again. But what Jesus is saying is, like, when it comes down to those that are lost, those that are spiritually disconnected, and maybe you've been there. We don't know what we want. We're just looking every which direction. Those that are separated from God, just looking for satisfaction, just looking for attention, looking for some type of peace or happiness. We're in this pursuit of happiness, and maybe, just maybe, we have no clue what actually satisfies us. To be outwardly focused is to be able to share with those that are in our circles and outside of our circles truly what satisfies, which is a relationship with the creator of the universe. Every single one of us has this void that only God can fill. And whenever that has been filled in your life, maybe whenever you've experienced like real, like rich biblical community, if you're in life group and you have just like, you know, you've been around people and like you just have those like really good group meetings, or you have these like really awesome hangouts. I'll talk about my life group because when we came here, in January, we moved here. If anybody doesn't know me and my family, my wife and my two kids, we just moved here in January. And we moved from Colorado, 3/4 of the way across the country over here, even further away from our family. And you know, like our huge prayers right off the bat, like God, I pray that we are able to find community fast. And I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. Which is some of the most isolating life phases that exist, right? Because you can't go out to eat too often, you know what I mean? You have to get a babysitter every single time you want to, like, you know, hang out with other people. And, like, you know, and especially when we're trying to get to know people, it's really hard to have conversations whenever there's a 2- and 3-year-old, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. It's difficult to build real rich, lasting relationships fast whenever you have the kiddos that need your time. So we prayed specifically, and we started seeing in this place other young families with small kids in that same, there's like solidarity. If you've ever had kids or ever been around kids, or there's solidarity there with parents. That's why we pray for parents in going, sending kids back to school. And so we just started meeting those and then asked, hey, are you guys in a life group? Like, oh, no, and no, 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 no. And like time, you know, family after family. And it's like, well, we have a desire to maybe launch a young family's life group. And long story short, a couple months later after that, we launched a life group already full, 9 families, all with young kids that had previously not been in community right here at Grace Church or in another church. I'm just telling you, like, our life group is launching back next week, and I just can't even wait to get back and live life with people in this capacity. It comes to being outwardly focused. Your life groups, your areas of service, all these things that we're going to keep talking about in our next core values, they exist so that the outside world can see something that they didn't even think existed. The outside world, maybe even you here this morning, maybe never thought in a million years that actually like a group of people could get together and just go to bat for each other, like what a life group can be for you. Maybe you never thought in a million years that people could get together and like and then after church, like whenever you go out and just like hang out and just spend time and just love each other, like the outside world sometimes doesn't know that those things exist. The outside world maybe doesn't even know that you can actually go and like have a Friday night to where you don't wake up the next morning completely trashed and feeling terrible. Sometimes the outside world doesn't know what exists outside of what sin has stolen from them, from you, from me. To be outwardly focused means that we're able to share this life of peace and rich satisfaction in our Creator with those that we know desperately need it. The end result of following Jesus is that you would be focused on those who don't follow him yet. The gospel, or the good news, is something I love to say. The gospel found you on its way to someone else. This affects everything about me. This affects my politics. This affects my conversations, my friendships, my dress attire, my social media. I was in youth ministry for almost 8 years, and there were students. We ran a ministry like in a way that was very outreach focused. So like there were tons of students that had not grown up in Christian families that were coming into our building. And just to be frank, there were students that came in kind of smelling of an odor. In Colorado, there are things that were legal for a long time. things that are legal here for just the past couple years. And I'm just going to be honest with you, like, would we kick them out of our church? Absolutely not. Much rather anybody be in the place where they get to hear this beautiful message of a gospel that can change and transform them to be anywhere else. So that means, like, for you, I don't know your story. I don't know your past. But I do know that you're here on purpose for a purpose. I'll keep pointing back to that. And there is freedom in this gospel. There is freedom in this good news that transformed my life. I was the son of a drug addict. And now I'm a pastor telling you about Jesus. If that doesn't say who God is, I don't know what does. Here's a quote. I'll do anything short of sin to make sure everyone I know gets a chance to follow Jesus. That's what being outwardly focused is. And this is something I get emotional for that, like, about that. Why? Because there are people that don't know Jesus out there. You know? And there's been times where I'm afraid to share that with others. And this is like my job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so I know for us this can be scary. But God's with us. Our core value number three is to be radically generous, to have radical generosity. Generosity is simply doing more than expected. To be generous with what you have is honestly, like, you know, there are quote-unquote expectations with the things that we have, and generosity is to go above and beyond. That's it. And everything about God is generous. What he's done for me, what has God done for me that I deserved? I'm going to be frank with you, nothing, zero. I have deserved nothing. Who is there to whom God owes a debt? No one. God doesn't owe anybody anything, but yet he's given everything. Everything I have comes from God. James 1:17 says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. Some of us may be tempted to think that we've become something all by ourselves. Like, if you have these achievements or these things, like, that's great, praise God. But this is specifically what Deuteronomy 8:17 says. And this is in light of everything God has given us. He says this, God did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you the power to be successful. The abilities, the things that you have, you're blessed to then be a blessing. You've been given these things so that then you could be these things to others. As managers of the resources and abilities, God has put into my hands and my life these things and these portions, and it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. So this is why we offer to help people every week. In our wrap-up, we always say, like, hey, if you want to start giving, you can text this number, or, like, you drop things in the box on your way out or whatever, that kind of stuff. But we always say that, like, giving is what our family does, our friends and family, those that would call Grace Church their home. But every single week, we also say, hey, if you're in need, if you're here, you can't pay your utility bill because something like has come up, if you can't afford medicine, if you can't afford to get your kid new shoes when their shoes are worn out, like, text the word help or come and meet with me in the Connection Center, and we'll try to do something to be tangibly a resource for our community. This is what Grace Church wants to be. We want to be, like, if Grace Church in Norton just stopped being a church, we would want the community to be worse off, not just completely, like, unknowing about it, right? We want to be a resource in our community to help love and facilitate the ways that we can do that. And a lot of time that's monetarily, that's things that cost to be able to do. There are things that we do at Grace Church. We always say that we make a lot of good in the world. Like there are wells that we've funded in overseas areas, water wells. There's orphanages that we've funded to be able to create. And the thing is, like, out of all the things that we've done, like, we want to continue to make good in those that are in our church as well. Not just good, but like to be rich, but to have what you need. That's what Scripture calls of us. This is why Jenny and I, my wife, we give to God here at Grace. Like, I'm not just saying like, "Hey, give," and like, I'm not. We give. I don't want this to sound weird. People get funny when you talk about money, right? Like that's the thing. But like, what I'm telling you is that what we want to do is we want to continue these principles that God has given us. God doesn't want your money; He wants your heart. And it just so happens that whatever we're putting our money to is usually what our heart is attached to as well. And so He's saying, I don't want your money. I'm just saying that when it comes down to these principles of being generous, you're blessed to be a blessing. I'll give you an example of this too. So in Colorado, we're close enough, again, to have moving here to where a lot of my stories are in Colorado. Had a smaller house. It was our first house that we were able to buy as a young married broke couple. Praise God. It was right before the big huge boom of like all of the housing market and all that kind of stuff, and it was great and it was awesome. We had our firstborn, Jude, and our house was not really conducive to have a second that we were thinking about having, and out of nowhere, we just started praying about it. Okay, God, if you would have us move, and like, what would that look like? Or if we need to do something with where we are, we want to be a good steward with what you have. Crazy enough, somebody in our church in Colorado, they had just sold their business to a Warren Buffett-owned company, i.e., they were ready to bless others. They sold us their house, which was about 3/4, or what's the math? It was a lot bigger than our house. And we were just sitting there, I was sitting there in the parking lot, and they sold it to us for the price that we sold our other house for, so that it was just an easy swap. And I'm just sitting there like, God, what? I don't deserve this. I know that I don't deserve this. Like, what are you doing? What are you kind of setting up? All the while, we moved into that house. It was an incredible house. It's like, it's great to live in a great house, but all the while, God was going to be moving us here to where things are really expensive here. Did you guys know that? Yeah. And so in that moment where I'm like, thank you, God, for your blessing, what He was doing was He was blessing for us to then be able to set a piece, for us to be able to have the means to even just come here and be in Norton, living in an apartment right down the street from where we want to serve you. What God is doing is He's saying, I'm calling you to higher things. I'm calling you to use what I have given you to be able to be a blessing to others. If that person hadn't sold us our house, like we'd still be here. We'd probably be a little bit, things would be a little trickier. What I'm saying is, if that person didn't say yes to the ways that God was calling them to be generous, there are ways that we wouldn't be able to be generous in the ways that we serve as well. To be radically generous, it looks like this. Like, and I say this to you, like, my salary, it's like set. Like, your giving doesn't affect my income. If like you guys give a lot more today, I'm not getting a bonus. Okay, like I don't yeah, like whatever. But we do have this focus of being good stewards of our resources. So I just want to give you a little insight. If someone came in and gave $1 million to Grace Church, we actually know exactly what we already do with it. Again, that's when we want to be good stewards. We could start 10 new churches before the end of the school year. Or if we could start, we could build 20 new feeding centers in third world countries where an organization called MANA already has things plotted out to be able to do. What I'm telling you is, like, we want to continue to do the things that God has called us to do. As a church, we model this ourselves. There are big needs within our church family and network of missions and charitable work around the world, but like outside of that, last year we spent 14% of our income on needs outside of our church family and our communities. Continuing to give and continuing to be a resource. The last core value. Again, just to be a reminder, as these have built onto each other, first core value is to be biblically centered, everything that we do around God's word. Second was to be outwardly focused, for those things to be charged in us to then go and give that to others. Then third was to be radically generous. And number four, our last core value, is to be personally involved. We believe that everyone has a part to play. Every single person. Not just gifted monetarily, not just gifted in these specific things that you can get. Like, you are gifted with your time and your talents in areas that are specific. Galatians 2:6, it instructs us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We started praying a month ago. It's been about 3 months ago now, the beginning of the summer. There are huge needs as our church has grown. If you look around, look around real quick. There's probably a lot of new people that you can see. Everybody wave to each other real quick. Hey, we're at All Grace Church together. Hi. So many have started to come, our kids' ministry is continuing to grow. The largest demographic in Norton, as in Norton Town, is actually young families. Did you know that? That's families with kids. The second largest is high school and middle school students. It's crazy enough. And then there are towns that surround Norton, Easton, Attleboro, Taunton, Rehoboth, Mansfield. Foxborough's out there. I'm going through the map in my head. Yeah, right. And then there are cities and towns that are around that have their own specific demographic. And so we started praying because I'm not going to lie to you. As of January, February, March, April, all of our teams across our entire church, as the church growed, our teams were lacking in our teams. Our kids ministry was busting at the seams, but we still had minimal child care workers or kids workers. And there was needs for us to be able to launch to a third kid room, and so we've been praying for that. I'm praying specifically, God, send the workers. As Scripture says, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Our call is to be personally involved. Every single person that walks in here, you have a gift that has been given to you in your, not ability, but your availability. And we started praying for a kids ministry that obviously, I got a lot of stock in when it comes to a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old that are downstairs just wreaking havoc. I just know it. I know it right now. But we want kids ministry workers that care about my kids, that care about your kids, to love them and to show them that there is a community that is here to help them grow up. So we started praying. We started praying for people that are gifted with a heart for kids, and God started sending them. We've onboarded, I think we've doubled our team in the past 2 months, which is great, and we still need more, which is crazy because people keep coming, and I'm so thankful that you're here. You could have, again, I really genuinely say that you could have been anywhere, but you're here. And I think that's because God is doing something special here. I wouldn't have moved 3/4 away across the country unless I believed that. God's gifted you in special ways to be able to serve his people right here in church, but also to be able to serve this community in areas and ways and things and places that we partner with outside of here. There are things that we do in our city. We had an incredible outreach summer where we just wanted to just show our community that we love them, no strings attached. That's why we do movie nights. They're fun. Like, they're, it's like just really fun. It's a way, like, do you know what the, like, Norton needs in the greater cities? We need, like, connectivity. We need to be together. And so those movie nights, that's like our prayer. It's just like to bring people together. And we have, that's why we watch Mario on the lawn here. And our neighbors are probably really like, hopefully some of our neighbors are in here. Like, maybe, I love you. Thank you. When it comes down to like what we do, like, you know, these things we do, like, we want to recognize that you are called. You, as you sit in this chair, you are called. And whenever you say yes, it's terrifying. As I onboarded youth leaders for 8 years, you know, I asked them this question: hey, what, like, are you nervous? Like, and I don't know if you've ever been around middle school or high school students. Yes, I'm nervous to jump into that area of service. Like, that's what every single youth leader would say. I say, well, what are the things that you're scared most about? You know what they say? That I'm inadequate in some way. That I'm not going to be enough in some capacity. And I think that's what what keeps us on the bench. We feel like, like they got it. They look like they're doing really good at it. I don't think I would, what if I mess up? What if I fail? The thing is, like, God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. He's going to be able to do the work. He's going to be able to, like, continue to develop you into who he's created you to be. All he's looking for is your yes. And so maybe you just need to hear that this morning, that you are called. You. And so if there would be a team that you would want to jump on, we have a first impressions team that's incredible. Maybe if you felt like welcomed, that was because, like, that's the first impressions team that was here. If you hear those kids screaming downstairs, yeah, like, we have... That they're lovable, I promise. Man, they will surprise you too. Like, whenever they, like, they come in and like whenever like Jude, he whenever one day before we were about to eat, he's like, "Hey, can we pray?" I'm like, "What?" "Yes." I'm like, "You're three." You know what I mean? They will surprise you. Their areas of service to point out some awesome individuals. There's been some new youth leaders that have started to jump into the youth ministry, and that has just been such an incredible encouragement for Emmanuel, who's led this ministry faithfully for the longest time. There are areas of service right here in your church that if you just want to just like start to dip your toe into what it looks like to say yes to God, I promise you, as you say yes to God, He's going to continue to direct your path in those ways. Maybe, just maybe, it's jumping on a team is what you need to do. Being personally involved also means that you can jump into living life with each other. I mentioned life group. Life groups actually relaunch next week. Plug, 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 plug. And we have a desire to launch more life groups because as our life group launched with 9 families, we're not supposed to have that many people in a life group. Just a heads up, like, that's full at like several people ago, but like there were just people, and now there's been even more that, like, especially young families or newly marrieds or young marrieds or like whatever the quote unquote demographic, like, there are people that are starting to come up and say, "Hey, I want to be in community." And so if that's you, don't wait. Go talk to Vicky. Where's Vicky? She's right there, right there. She'll be back in the Connection Center after this and be around. She does some life group stuff, same with me. And so if you're just interested in life group, you can put it on your card. If you came in, you probably got like one of those like little cards. Our number is like having some problems right now, so you can text our number. This is all in the wrap up. I'll talk about this later. But squirrel, you can talk to Vicky and we can get you in a life group because we have a desire to launch some new life groups. I don't. Can you tell I'm passionate about this stuff? Just a little bit. Like, to be honest with you, like our message this morning is just like, it's just talking about like just all the cool things God is doing in our church because we just saturate in values and things that like are biblical, and like that's our desire for you. Like, do you want to get like on board? Like, I hope you do. That's our prayer every single morning when I'm driving here. Every single day that I come to this building, I come into this room and I just pray over these seats. Whatever seat that you could sit in, that you would experience and know that you're loved, that you're called, that you're here on purpose, and that you can say yes and diving into what God has for you. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need that has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person when it comes to all of these core values? When it comes to all of these things that we're talking about. Maybe this is the opportunity you have to really recognize maybe a couple questions. Here's the first question. Which one of these do you believe needs the most attention in your life right now? Is it to be biblically centered, to be able to richly go into God's word? Is it to be outwardly focused in how we share our faith and our lives with others? Is it to be generous radically in the ways that we could be a resource and focused on how to be a blessing to others? Or is it to be personally involved, to jump on a team, to serve in a capacity that's outside of that's serving our community in the things and areas that we partner with, to jump in a life group? Which one of these do you believe needs the most attention in your life right now? Another question. What's one thing that you can do this week to make a noticeable change in this area of your life? If you're hearing this stuff and like you understand that there's something, I need to do something. Creating some type of an action step is going to be able to then set your trajectory. Again, God is here with you right now, and he's going to continue to be in your action and what you do. And last, what are you going to do about it? Do you have the goal? You have the set? Who are you going to talk to about it? Because some of these things, like if you're just, again, wrestling, that word wrestle, if you're wrestling with this yourself, who are you going to talk to about it? So there's somebody else that can come alongside you, maybe help keep you accountable. Because in these moments where God is moving and God is talking and God is working, as soon as we walk out the door, there's an enemy that wants you to forget about it. Man, those kids are loud. They're having fun. I hope. The ways that you can do this, again, as you get into the weeds about what comes next, your check-in right here, thatsgrace.org/check-in. It's going to ask specific questions to help you reflect on exactly where you are on these exact things. Fill that out, like complete that, hit submit. Continue to start that reflection together. We're going to do something else special this morning. On your seats.